For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the world's squeeze. There are all kinds of ways, some of them not so subtle, in which the world infects our thinking as Christians. Have we learned to think theologically, think biblically, test every thought by the straight edge of the Word of God? Yesterday, I talked about what is called inclusive language, this whole movement to politically correct language in which I am not allowed to use male images for God. Well, 20 years ago, I began to worry about what was called the women's movement. It had a hollow ring to it. It stirred something deep inside my womanliness, something false and degrading to the strong concept of femininity, not to be confused with feminism, which my mother and my father, by his respect and love and honor for my mother, had taught us. I began to study. I was floored by some of the statements written by leaders of feminism. For example, and I am quoting directly, "We must destroy love. Love prevents the development of woman's full potential by directing her energies outward in the interest of others." Now, that is a statement from a compendium of feminists from the year 1972. Now, just to give you one little hint of where that concept has taken us. We must destroy love because love prevents the development of woman's full potential by directing her energies outward in the interest of others. That is the logical outcome of feminist ideology. And it was either Germaine Greer or one of the other prominent feminists back then, and I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly which one it was, who said we must work to destroy marriage. Is that radical? Yes. But many Christians adopted the label feminist without understanding the published agenda, without looking carefully and thoughtfully into its ideology in the light of Scripture. Many people who thought feminism meant equal pay for equal work and the right to vote took the label for themselves. I happen to believe in equal pay for equal work and in the right of women to vote. I was questioned on these things. I found it a very boring topic. I avoided it like the plague as long as I could. But then I realized that I had a responsibility to answer questions about this whole thing, and so I had to do some studying. I ended up writing a book called Let Me Be a Woman. Then I found that so many men had read that book and told me that they learned more about what it means to be a man than in any book that they had ever read except Let Me Be a Woman. They had actually had the courage to read a book called Let Me Be a Woman. So I thought, well, I better write a book for the men, too. So I wrote a book called The Mark of a Man. These are two books that are available. One is on femininity and the other on masculinity. Well, I have experienced a certain amount of suffering as a result of being such a kook. Some funds were withheld from the Alumni Association of the college from which I graduated because that college had invited me to speak on their platform. I was voted out of more than one department in a seminary in which I was an adjunct professor. I have been shunned as an extremist, and I have had women walk out of meetings in which I've spoken. But I began to fear that feminism would lead to the emasculation of men, to confusion of identity for both men and women. And this is where I was thought a great alarmist, I believed it would lead to the acceptance of homosexuality, and worse. It has done exactly that. I quote from an article in R.C. Sproul's magazine, an article by Peter Jones. Virginia Raimi Mollenkott, a well-known Christian egalitarian feminist, has just come out. In her 1992 book, Sensuous Spirituality, Out from Fundamentalism, Mollenkott recounts abandoning fundamentalism and becoming what she calls an evangelical lesbian feminist. We could quibble about the differences, but one thing is certain. Evangelicalism shares with fundamentalism the same Christian fundamentals, which Mollenkott clearly rejects. She writes, "So how does a fundamentalist who believes she is essentially and totally depraved become transformed into a person who knows she is an innocent spiritual being who is temporarily having human experiences? The answer is through a long and gradual process involving the study of hermeneutics, a great deal of dreaming and learning to interpret those dreams, extensive journaling, psychological use of the I Ching and the tarot to learn something about the movement of my unconscious mind, agonizing struggles with A Course in Miracles, studying the works of Paul Norman Tuttle, reading up on hermetic tradition and on spiritual healing, and much pondering of great theological poets like John Milton and Emily Dickinson." End of quote. Notice that Holy Scripture is missing from Mollenkott's list of guiding principles. She turns to other sources for revelation. The I Ching is a pagan Chinese form of divination using sticks developed by Confucius. Tarot cards are fortune-telling devices using occult symbols and interpretation. A Course in Miracles is a major New Age text by atheist psychiatrist Helen Schuckman, who claims it was revealed to her by Jesus himself. This Jesus told her, among other things, that sin is an illusion. The Hermetic tradition is esoteric literature generally associated with Gnosticism and the occult. Mollenkott describes what she calls one distinct holy instant. At that moment, her basic perception of herself completely changed. Quote, "Prior to that holy instant, I had inched my way from believing myself totally depraved, although redeemed by God's grace, to believing myself a basically decent human being who was having some lovely spiritual experiences. But one day, while I was meditating, I experienced a reality that was even better than that. Like my elder brother Jesus, I am a sinless self. Perhaps myself has been on earth before in other bodies. Perhaps not. I am aware that some of my readers may be thinking that I have deserted Christianity in favor of New Age metaphysics. But I would ask them this: can you be certain that I am not being drawn back to the essence of what Jesus actually believed and taught?" Well, this writer, again, I'm quoting from R.C. Sproul's magazine. The writer is Peter Jones. He says, "Mollenkott's new look, Spirit-inspired guidance, involves major reversals of several fundamental Christian doctrines. She rejects biblical eschatology and what she calls traditional Christianity's emphasis on sin, guilt, and retribution. Instead, she says, we are empowered toward co-creatorship, welcomed to continual renewal on a continuous great non-judgment day. She rejects biblical ethics, opting instead for a different set of situation ethics for feminists and womanists and lesbi-gay people living in an occupied territory. She advocates a breathtaking array of anti-biblical spiritual technologies. She advocates radical pro-choice sexual freedom, justifying abortion and numerous forms of alternative sexual expression." And here is a direct quote from Mollenkott. "I have no objection," she says, "to the casual sharing of sexual pleasure. I dare not condemn those who engage in promiscuous or easy sexual encounters." She considers this an area of Christian liberty where we must ask our inner teacher, the Holy Spirit, what action or attitude is appropriate. And now May I read to you from Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, and verses 1 to 4. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death because he preached rebellion against the Lord your God. That is Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 5. May God deliver us from allowing ourselves to be swept away by every wind of doctrine, by secular thinking. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind from within.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.